Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feldman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, a podcast where we try to help you stay sane in a wild, wild world. Welcome to my co-host, Lauren Feldman. I'm John Biggs. Welcome, Lauren.
How are you, sir?
I'm surviving. What do we got? We have to double mask now here. I think everywhere you have to double mask. You basically put two masks on for the price of one.
Anything to do with masks, I support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need bigger masks. I think we should just do full bore face masks, like Rorschach style.
I have no problem with masks for obvious reasons, and even as a fashion statement, as you were kind of talking, I like them too. I've seen some fun masks, not many, but yeah. I've seen a few of those like silkscreen printed ones of like the dude smiling or something.
Those I made one that was like beer me and insert steak here and stuff, but it didn't really sell very well.
No.
I thought I was going to get the next, create the next, Pet Rock, but I couldn't pull it off.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I was drinking a lot back then too, so who knows what happened going through my head. All right. It's a crazy stock market. Did you buy any GameStop? Any Nokia?
I bought AMC today.
You bought AMC? Where'd you get in?
I don't know, 12 or something.
12. So for those who aren't in the know, basically what's happening is a group of, it's probably about 2 million Reddit users are in this room called Wall Street Bets. And they go in there and they basically say, okay, well, they have certain businesses that they love. They apparently love GameStop. They also love AMC because that has movies, I suppose. They love Nokia. They're backing BlackBerry as well.
It's not only companies they love, it's hedge funds that they hate.
Yeah,
is a big part of it. And that's a big part of the GameStop thing. But yes, they love these companies and get behind these, you know, these tech companies or whatever companies they like.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I would wager it's far easier to convince a bunch of crazy people on Reddit to invest in GameStop than it would be to, I don't know, some other like hedge fund hated hedge fund.
Right. No, of course. They're, you know, they're getting their weirdo companies that are part of their lifestyle.
But the whole point is that they're basically, there's BlackBerry retail chain, Bed Bath & Beyond. So basically they're coming in and saying, okay, the hedge funds have written these guys off. They have lots of shorts against these shorts, meaning that they're betting that the stock goes down. So they're basically destroying what happens once they do this is all the hedge funds have margin calls, which means that once your stock or your equity goes up or down far enough past the level of sanity for a lot of these exchanges, they're going to make you pay. They're going to make you cash in, basically. So the bet is that if I'm going to bet that GameStop goes down to $2 when it's $5, and I'm going to get $3 basically is kind of like the way this works, or vice versa. You can bet that it's going to go higher, and if it goes even higher, you get cash. It's goofy. I don't even know how to explain it because I don't have that gene.
Well, that's essentially what it is. You're betting that a stock's going to go down.
Yeah.
And you can make a lot of money without putting money up, but at the same time, you can lose a ton of money, as you said, when the margin call comes in. Because to use your example, if you're shorting the stock to $2 and it's at $5 and it goes up to $10,
or it goes up to $240,
you're responsible for not only what it goes up, but from at that price, what it was. So you lose a ton of money. In any case, the way that those guys lose a ton of money is when the stock price goes up. So as you were saying, the Reddit guys got together, decided that they were going to jump on Robinhood and buy a ton of shares and move some volume in these companies. And a bunch of the hedge funds really got rocked.
Mm-hmm. And I think the important thing to consider is that this is all Robinhood. So this is basically just an app that's sitting on your phone, and you can trade from the toilet if you want, which is completely unprecedented. It used to be you had E-Trade, you had to go through a thing, you can kind of buy and sell stocks, but it wasn't fully.
Yeah, I play around with Robinhood just to see how it is. Yeah. And, you know, of course, the story's always of it going down, et cetera. But yeah, it's super simple. And also you can buy fractionals, which is the big deal there. So
yeah,
if you want to buy $8 worth of Tesla, you can buy $8 worth of Tesla. So that's what drives a lot of it, too, is these really micro kind of things. But again, in volume and enough to move markets.
I mean,
and then you get, of course, you know, the evil genius Elon getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with GameStop. Now, as we said, they're doing it with AMC today. And the Jim Cramer and establishment financial media guys are losing their minds over it. Because essentially what these Reddit guys are doing is the same bullshit that Jim Cramer does on TV.
Yeah.
So I like the whole thing, truthfully. I don't have a problem with it.
No, I think it's evocative of like a new era. I mean, this is everything gets disrupted ultimately. And it's something that I've been following. It's basically the integration of like the internet with reality. Whereas it used to be the internet was something separate from reality. You were on the internet, you played a game, you went on a Facebook, you chatted with somebody, whatever. But meeting in real life, doing anything in real life, it really had no direct effect. Now it has 100% effect. It has effects in politics. It has effects in dating, in online meeting, meeting in real life, getting hitched because you met somebody online. And now it has effects in finance. It used to be only the creme de la creme of the freaking Wall Street world had this sort of power. Now, because you can just type, let's buy AMC to a bunch of weirdos and they're going to follow you, it's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of all of the things that you just said, the other industries and parts of cultural life that have been disrupted, it's generally been negative.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, with this one, power to the people. You know, the people should be able to get involved in the stock market. Of course, it's risky and hard and crazy, but that's how fortunes are made.
Well,
so,
what did they say? They said it was like the Wall Street protests. Remember those Wall Street protests?
Yeah.
So what the heck were they called?
I really can't remember. I know. Anonymous was down there.
Yeah.
Down on Wall Street when they camped out.
Oh my God. This is okay. Anyway,
whatever it was called. But yeah, that was big banking.
Occupy Wall Street,
right.
Yeah. So they're actively fighting against big banking. They're actively fighting against these guys, and now they actually have a leg to stand on. And that's one of the frustrating things that I think about a lot of activism right now, is that it's not effectual. It has no bearing on the real world, because you can yell all you want and you can storm around and you can be a freak show. But I mean, as we see from QAnon, once you get a bunch of people together, they usually just go nuts and screw up. Whereas in this case, because of the internet, because it's smart people, because it's people focused on who can teach others how to use the stock market, it can be actually pretty effectual. You want to destroy Nestle's stock overnight, get into Wall Street Bets and say that they've murdered a village in India. It's entirely feasible.
Yeah, I mean, this will be ultimately ruined like everything else.
Yeah, of course.
But starting is a good thing.
Well,
anything to go after the bankers and those guys, and to level the playing field a little bit, and you know, I don't have a problem with it. Apparently I don't have a problem with any of this.
Nazis, apparently the Nazis are in on this too. So they're getting their piece. So, so it's not all great, but what are you going to do?
So I guess I don't even know how to respond to that. I guess the Nazis are just everywhere these days.
Yeah, it's surprising. Brooklyn, they're everywhere. All right. What do you think about Andreessen Horowitz creating their own news organization? Did you see this?
Yes, I did. They're going to create their own media property dedicated to future thinking of tech. I think they're really smart. If they're going to have a media, you know, creating a media company to talk about how great Clubhouse is, which is basically a company they created from scratch as a vanity project. So
yeah,
it's really interesting. They're going like, they're going fully vertical. It's a vertical move and it's smart. They don't have to worry about your former employers or people like that. And
yeah,
they'll get contributors. And I think it's a really, really smart move.
I don't think that, like, so like as somebody notes here, as much as I appreciate high caliber content, I shudder at the prospect of a world where A16Z carries more media clout than the Times or Wall Street Journal. Independence is still fairly important. I mean, by all, like, I would completely agree that we're at the point in media where independence doesn't really matter. But the old dude in me still wants to have like some kind of freaking independence here.
Well, why? I mean, it's full editorial. I don't think they're doing news, are they?
Well, I mean, so that's the question. If that's fine, if you just want to have a,
I was under the impression that it's, you know,
it's a like thought media,
thought leader kind of stuff, you know, and they'd get like their big thinker kind of vibe. And who cares? I don't think they're competing with the Times or the Journal or Gizmodo or any of that. It's a niche blog, man.
It's going to fizzle out eventually. I don't think they can, you can't maintain.
Why would it fizzle out? It's just a blog. I mean, they're not looking to make money from it. They don't need to have revenues. All it is like a editorial think piece blog about industries and shit that they want to pump up, and who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, I think you're worrying about something you don't need to worry about.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And in terms of them doing it, it's a super smart move. Super smart move. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a particular fan of Clubhouse. I have logged in a few times. We did a one-on-one session. Yeah,
it was a limited
therapy session. But yeah, Clubhouse is still weird as can be. Very get rich quick. And we spoke about it, didn't we, the other day? Are they going to try and monetize it? But anyway, it's just a good vertical move, you know. Them, Clubhouse, now stick it all on a blog, how great Clubhouse is, and that's it.
I guess that's fine. Yeah, I would agree. That seems like a fun little solution.
All right. I'm glad that you were
okay with it.
I
was talking with this other guy who's working with the guys over at Thiel, whatever Thiel's thing is.
Founders Fund.
Yeah, Founders Fund. They want to do their own little news thing, but they want to be pro tech all day, all night. Super pro tech. So the goal there is to I suppose just be like a shill for Founders Fund, which is problematic for me. But they're going to do it, and they got the cash for it, and they probably have more cash than heck most media organizations out there right now. They definitely got more cash than a freaking local newspaper, so.
Well, Thiel will build, you know, the Breitbart of tech. That's what that'll be.
Yeah. All right. Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV is horrible. Did you just get the email yesterday? They gave you it. So Apple TV is so horrible that they gave anybody who has a free subscription, they give you a few months when you buy an Apple device. Yeah, yeah. And now they're giving it until July. It's terrible. It's a shame. The only thing on it is Ted Lasso, which is at least the best thing in the media landscape. But having the one best show, they don't have enough content.
Well, this is a question that I had. Do you think that they sat there and said, okay, we're going to hire like these top guru, Hollywood gurus, and they're going to do all this amazing content, or they're going to do all this amazing stuff, but they were so highfalutin that they just couldn't get anything done?
No, I think that those deals are happening.
Yeah.
And they have stuff in the pipeline. And they definitely, you know, did deals. A24, which is one of the main production partners, is super high art, very cool, out of New York, you know, the whole, I mean, they're working with A-list people. But what I think is that they just launched too early. They should have had more stuff available on the site. See, that's the difference between them and all the other guys. Is that all the other guys started with giant libraries.
Yeah, yeah, that's the trick.
You know, before Netflix started producing their own stuff, they were bleeding billions, you know, doing licensing deals. And Apple didn't do that at all. So you know, Apple did a couple licensing deals where they got peanuts. What'd they get? They got peanuts. They got some Oprah stuff, but all this stuff's in the pipeline. And while I'm sure it'll be high quality and cool, there's just no buzz around anything other than Ted Lasso.
I mean, they got that one M. Night Shyamalan thing that was pretty whatever. It's kind of, did you watch that at all? That's the Servant.
No, they have nothing on the network. I haven't watched anything other than Ted Lasso. Yeah. I have it for free. The only other interesting thing on the whole service, truthfully, that caught my eye was this Warner Herzog documentary about meteors.
Yeah.
That's it. So, and also the UI is just awful.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I was playing in iTunes the other day, and I use Apple Music, and they still have the worst user interfaces for both the music service and TV Plus. I mean, just really awful.
Even for like the Apple TV, like the box itself is awful.
I don't use it on my TV.
Yeah,
I always watch it.
That's the odd thing is it's the only thing we use. I have another TV downstairs that's Amazon. Barely ever use it. Because it's mostly just gaming down there, and for all the stuff that we need, just basically like whatever, just the things, all those apps just are there, and that's fine.
We have it broken up. I have an Amazon, you know, Amazon on the TV, Apple on the iPad, which we romantically call the tiny, because it's a tiny TV, and we're like, should we watch the tiny? So, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we just basically do Amazon on the big TV. I mean, I guess I could stream it. We occasionally do the streaming to the Apple TV, but I don't really use the interface.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind it so much. But anyway, all right. So you're gonna have to keep buying. Nokia stock because you really want to get into. You want to get into it as deep as possible. That way you can get completely wrecked like everybody else. I want you to really experience the majesty of the modern American.
I'm going to get into day trading on Robinhood. put a little bit of play money in the Robinhood account and just sit here and play with that money all day. My AMC bet is doing very well.
Yeah,
even,
I know.
Even with me getting in very late.
Well, there you go.
So,
all right. This has been Tech Hygiene, aka Lawrence Financial Tech Tips.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Disclaimer, don't ever listen to me about financial tips.
I'm John Biggs.
I am Lauren Feldman.
And we will see you next week.